Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
I'm going to do this on fungus, reading the Wikipedia article on fungus. So just to put you in the way of the tree of life, normally the tree of life is broken up to animal, plant, fungus, across, but now it's broken up into three, I suppose, domains, which is the archaic cells, archaea, which is only discovered in the 1970s, these are the extremophiles. They don't have a nucleus. It's the main aspect of them. The surface can be a bit hard to tell. Well, they don't grow very big, but they can survive without oxygen at high extreme temperature. And then you've got the bacteria, which have got the solid world, a wall of something called chitin on the outside. That's sort of like the same insect skeleton as an insect, the same material, chemical material, and they are very much smaller than cells and sort of basically live off archaea and other food sources and generate oxygen and energy and cell food. And then there's the eukaryote, which a much later version, which is a combination of the two former ones. And the eukaryote means, I can't remember what eukaryote means, but they've got the nucleus in them. I've got to remember, I've really forgotten what that means. But they're broken up into three kingdoms. So you've got domains and kingdoms, and then you've got the fungus, the plant and animal. So plants, photosynthesis, cellulose, animals, keratin, and fungus, chitin is their surface, their structure as they go up. So there's, and in that there are further down the tree, there's eukaryotes, which are single cell organisms, in pond water and stuff like that. And then there's also monorrhea and protista. Now, these are not bacteria or anything like that, but they're groups involved. And of course, one of the most creepy things are single cells, a slime mold. And they used to be characterized as fungus, but they've got a separate thing. But these are single cells which grow up to several meters across. They can be a fair number of grams. You'd notice if you've got a slime mold on them, some of them, and they can move. They're a cell that can actually move over the surface of the earth, and then they can separate when they're feeding, and when the food dries up, they find each other out, form a thing, and then they reproduce. So it's a pretty amazing thing. And so this is one of the things I'll have to get across. And of course, what I'm doing is giving you a general gist as I'm reading through this. So I'm going to read through this and we'll go through. Now, funguses are 410 million years ago. So the fungus is not although they're using the technology of crustaceans and stuff like that on the outer skin to form themselves, and although they're not plants, but they, 410 million years ago, is on land. They're terrestrial, I believe terrestrial. I might be controversial, but it says 410 to 400 million years ago. So 550, you've got the first cellular life forms, besides bacteria and archaea. You've got the eukaryotes. 500, you've got, after 50 million years, you've got multicellular organisms, and then around that 410, 350, you get reptiles and stuff going on, plants and stuff like that coming on. Okay, fungus, plural fungi or funguses, is a member of a group of eukaryotic organisms that include microorganisms such as yeast and molds, as well as the more familiar mushrooms. Now, I suppose eukaryotic means that they've got a identifiable cell. The organisms are classified as a kingdom of fungi, which is separate from the other eukaryotic kingdoms of plants and animals. I think I said that before. The characteristic, but then you've got other little sub-branches off which are not plant, animal, they're just cells and protista and stuff like that. the characteristics that places fungus in a different kingdom from plants and bacteria, and some process is chitin in the SL world. So chitin, so that's what I said before, chitin is this sugar with the amino aldehyde on the amino, it's a carbon, it's on each sugar ring, you rip off a hydroxide and put in a carbon, and on that carbon you put an NH2, which is amine, and then on the next carbon you put, the next carbon long, you put a double OH, and then the next carbon along there, you put a methyl group. So there's three carbons. Makes it a very hard war. Fungi do not photosynthesize. Growth is their means of mobility, except for spores, a few of which are flagellated. So this is the little spores can actually swim. Now, it's mobility by single cell swimming is not restricted to animals or, you know, bugs. You can have a few fungi can do it, and ferns reproduce by producing buckets of sperm. That's why they need so much water. Fungi are the principal decomposers of the ecological system. So you actually have the little spores, if the fungi in the ground, if the spores want to produce, ground-based fungi with the spores. So they're the main, that's the main thing they do. There are differences, these and other differences place fungi in a single group of related organisms named the Emucota, true fungi, or emisotes. Okay, so there's a problem that people used to put molds, which are, you know, totally different. They're a mold, like a fungi mold, but they're a different mold. They're actually a mobile mold, quite disgusting. They share a common ancestor, the form of monophytic group, an interpretation that is so strongly supported by molecular phylogenetics, so the phylums and genetics. The fungi group is distinct from the structurally similar myxocremates, slime molds, okay, or water molds, okay, so they're structurally similar, but they're different. The different ancestors, so slime or like water molds. The discipline of biology devoted to the study of fungi is known mycology. Greek means mushroom. In the past, mycology was regarded as a branch of botany, although it's now known fungi are genetically more closely related to animals than plants. That is, that the branch which went off from plants separated off, and then you had this other group of animals first. I think plants came off first, but obviously plants came before animals. You know, I really find this a bit hard to understand. Obviously, an animal would have nothing to eat. You know, I've evolved as an animal. What's for dinner? Another animal. Okay, I've eaten that. What do I eat next? Nothing. So plants come first. Abundant worldwide. Most fungi are inconspicuous because of the small size of the structure. And their cryptic lifestyles in the soil and dead matter, so you just don't see them. Fungi include symbionts of plants, animals, and other fungi, and also parasites. So a lot of legumes require, they support fungi in their soil, and then fungi also respond to a chemical signal and then pass that chemical signal right through the soil. You know, it's a communication network. It's really interesting. They may become noticeable when fruiting, either as mushrooms or molds. Fungi perform an essential role of decomposition of organic matter and have fundamental roles in nutrient cycling and exchange of environment. Well, it's not nucleate. You feed the fungi, and the fungi feeds you. They do things that you can't do. I.e., that what they have done is that they've, it's like the China of manufacturing, that they do things better and let the plant get on with what it's best at. They have long been used as a direct source of human food in the form of mushrooms and truffles, as a leavening agent in bread and fermentation of various food products such as wine, beer, soy sauce. Okay, so this, you ferment, your fungus doing the work for you. It's not a bacteria, it's a stuff. Since the 1940s, fungus have been used for the production of antibiotics, and more recently, various enzymes produced by fungus are industrially used in detergents. This is genetically engineering your fungus, your mold. Fungus are also, the other thing is that they're pretty stable. You can dry them out, and they're not dead, and you can put them, so like the lab rat, you've got to keep on feeding week in, week out. Like nowadays, the animal detection means that you've got to, if you have a trap in Australia, you have to have it's got to be wireless, so the animal's not in there for too long. It's not under stress, or in a lab, all the things are wireless, and they have an escape plan for when there's a fire. The cage is open, they can all run away if they want to. Fungus are also used as biological pesticides to control weeds, plants, diseases, and insect pests. Many species produce bioactive compounds called mycotoxins, such alkaloids and polyketides. I magic mushrooms are toxic to animals, including humans. Fruiting structures of the new species contain psychotropic compounds of a few species. Are consumed recreationally in traditional spiritual ceremonies. Fungus can break down manufactured materials and buildings, become significant pathogens in humans and animals. Losses on crops and fungal diseases, rice blast disease, food spoilage have a large impact on human food supplies and locals. So the main thing is that you've got your book out and it's just piling on fungi, saying, oh, I'm here. When it gets water, it turns your book into food. And so if you waterlog a book, you don't dry it out first, right? So if you get a magazine and it is got drenched, say with coffee, you want us to save it, you don't pat it dry because it's not going to dry fast enough. You have to whack it in the freezer, put it in a plastic bag, whack it in the freezer, get it absolutely frozen solid, and then obviously dry it in a way. The fungus kingdom encompasses a normal diversity of taxia, this is groups, and varied ecologies, life cycle strategies, morphologies ranging from unicellular aquatic cyrids to large mushrooms. However, little is known about the true biodiversity of the kingdom of the fungi, which is estimated to be 2.2 million to 3.8 million species. Of these, only about 120,000 have been described, and over 8,000 species known to be determined to plants, and at least 300 can be pathogenic to humans. Ever since the pioneering 18th and 19th century taxonomic works of Carl Linnaeus, he's the binomial person, the flower king, Uppsala, he used to have a band, and these people used to go out and pick flowers and lutes and read poetry and do all the stuff. And so I said, hang on, it's Sweden. We don't do that here. So rack off, they said to him. No, various things, so that's not exactly correct. Christian Hendrik Persson, whoever he is, Elias Magnus Fries, wow, fungi have been classified according to their morphology, characteristics, spore color, microscopic features, or physiology. Advances in molecular genetics have opened up a new way of DNA analysis incorporated in the taxonomy, which has sometimes challenged the historical groupings based on morphology and other traits. Phylogenetic studies published last decade have helped reshape the classification of the kingdom of the fungi, which is divided into subkingdoms of 7 phyla and 10 subphyla. So, under a kingdom of phyla. I don't know why people bother teaching kids about fungi. Now, etymology. Now, that means where the word comes from, I think so. Now, the English word fungus is directly dropped from the Latin fungus. Alright, fungus? Fungus, which means mushrooms. Used in Horace and Pliny. In turn, derived from the Greek word sphongos, means sponge, which refers to the macroscopic structure of the morphology of the mushrooms and mold. The root is used in other languages, such as German, called Schrumm, means sponge, and Schrimmel, means mold. The word mycology is derived from the Greek letter mycos, means mushrooms, or logos, means discourse. It denotes a scientific study of fungi. Latin adjectival mycology mostly appeared in the early 1796 in a book by Christian Hendrik Pearson. Pearson, the word appeared in English in the early 1824 by Robert K.L. Greville. In 1836, the English naturalist Miles Joseph Berkeley's publication, English Flora of Sir James Edward Smith, Volume 5, also refers to mycology as a study of fungi. A group of all fungi in present and particular area of geographic region is known as the mycobiota. Okay, the mycobiota of Ireland, e.g. It's the fungi of Ireland. Four-leaf clover, four-leaf fungi. Characteristics. Before the introduction of molecular methods or for phylogenetic analysis, taxonomists, so that means for working out what fungus is what, before we had DNA and computers, taxonomists, that is people who worry about these things, considered fungus to be a member of the plant kingdom because of the similarity of the lifestyle of both fungi and plants are mainly immobile. And have similar in general morphology and growth habits. Like plants, fungi often grow in soil. In the case of mushrooms, form conspicuous fruiting bodies, which sometimes resemble plants, such as mosses. Fungi are now considered a separate kingdom, distinct from the plant and animals, for they appear to have diverged around 1 billion years ago, around the start of the Neoproteic era. So, that is, they've diverged, but only became established. So you can imagine a lot of things were diverging and various things became plants and animals. And so even though we can locate them back to 400 million years ago, that's where it is. Some morphological, so they've separated off. Some morphological, but they're closer to animals here. Some morphological, biochemical and genetic features are shared with other organisms, while others are unique to fungi, clearly separating them from other kingdoms. Shared features. With other eukaryotes, so eukaryotic cells are not 550 million years ago, they're 1 billion years old, easily. With other eukaryotes, this is ones with nuclei, fungi cells contain a membrane-bound nuclei with chromosomes that contain DNA, with non-coding regions called introns and coding rings, it's called exons. However, so this is true because a bacteria is all that. It doesn't have a non-coding region, I would say. Fungi have membrane-bound cytoplasmic organelles such as mitochondria, which is it's fed sugar and it produces ATP, sterol-containing membranes and ribosomes of the 8OS type. Well, there you go. So whatever that is. So a ribosome is ribonucleic acid. That is, it's not deoxized, it's got the oxygens in it. So it produces, and these can fold. So rather than only being strip form, they can actually fold a bit more easily. And so they fold off to be machines which operate for producing proteins, which are the real machines. They have a characteristic range of soluble carbohydrates and storage compounds, including sugar, alcohols, methanols, disaccharides, which is all sugars, my friend, all sugars, e.g. telohose, and polysaccharides called glycogen, which are also found in animals. Oh, wow. She is. So, I don't understand. With animals, fungi lack chloroplast and are heterophobic organisms, so require preformed organic compounds. Okay, so that they just can't live out of the air. With plants, fungi have cell walls and vacuoles. So a vacuole is an area inside a cell filled with water so you can pressurize it. So you have a wall, and the wall can either collapse or go up. So you need sort of a hydraulics to operate. And that's interesting. They reproduce both sexual and asexual means. like basal plant groups such as ferns and mosses produce spores. Similar to mosses and algae, fungi typically have a haploid nucleus. So what does haploid mean? I'm sorry, I just don't know what haploid means. A haploid. Nah. What the bloody hell is haploid nucleus? See if I can remember that. The odds of remembering that is so small. With eugalanoids and bacteria, that is the thing, half fungi, eugalanoids, and some bacteria produce amino acid L-isine, a specific biosynthesis step called aminodiaptic pathway. So I think we produce amino acids, but they produce it by particular pathways. Cells in most fungi grow in tubular, elongated, thread-like, filamentous structures called hyphae, which may contain multiple nuclei and extend by growing at their tips. Okay, so rather than break out, they just go longer and longer and longer, and more nuclei go, so it doesn't fully break out. Each contains a set of aggregated vesicles, which is a little chew. So each contain a little, like, series of grates, I suppose. Cellular structures consisting of proteins, lipids, and other organic molecules called Spitzenberger copper. Well, there you go. So they've got little grapes, little bubbles inside them of this stuff. Both fungi and omicines, which is grow as filamentous hyphal cells. So I don't know what omnicines. I think they're not. I think they're some type of mold, but they're not in the fungal kingdom. In contrast, similar-looking organisms such as filamentous green algae grow repeated cell divisions within the chain wall cells. So, yeah, so they just grow long tubes, whereas algae repeat themselves in fibres. I can get that. There's also single-cell fungi, yeast, that do not form hyphae, and some fungi have both hyphal and yeast forms. In common with some plants and animal species, more than 70% fungal species display bioluminescence. What? 70% of funguses produce light. Blood oath. Some animals or fish produce lights, and I didn't know any plants that produce lights. There you go. But I must admit, look, that spooked me out. Somewhere out in the way out in the Australian bush. Really, really dark night. Absolutely dark night. Now, remember that that lichen's a bacteria and a mold. The I don't know what the mold does. Does it have any photosynthesis? I think a bacteria, lichen does have photosynthesis. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what it goes, whether the bacteria is, oh yeah, I think the bacteria does the photosynthesis and the mold does the, sort of the mothering, stuff like that. But that glowed at night. Very, very faintly, but very dark, and your eyes dark adapted. You could see the edge of rocks because of this lichen on it. Okay. Unique features. Some species grow unicellular yeast that produced by budding and fission. Dimorphic fungi can switch between yeast phase and hyphal phase in response to environmental conditions. Okay, I don't quite understand what that means. Fungal cell walls composed of glycans and chitins, glucosin and chitins. I don't know what chitins are, but glycans are. While glycans are also found in plants and chitins found in the exoskeletons of arthropods, fungi are the only organisms that combine these two structural molecules in their cell walls. Unlike plants or omnicytes, fungus cell walls do not contain cellulose. Okay, so what so haploids and omnicytes, whatever they are. I'm just going to have a check back here. Okay, just okay, so I'll just go back and check this. And see if I can read back. Sorry here, mate. I'm sorry, it's really dark here. I'm seeing if whether I can find it. Comments it. Oh, God. That's really trying to read it. No, it's basically how much you forget. You read over this. My God, no, that's gone to my head. So haploids, and I think that's a type of plant mold. Water mold, it's called. So it's called... if I can remember it, it's O-double-M, means mushrooms, so double O mushrooms, whatever they are. Most fungi lack an efficient system for long-distance transport of water and nutrients. Inside them, obviously, such as xylem and phloem, many plants. To overcome this limitation, some fungi, such as the Armadillus or the Resume, which resemble and perform functions similar to the roots of plants. As eukaryotes, fungi possess a biosynthetic pathway for producing terpenes and uses malvolic acid and pyrophosphate as chemical building blocks. Plants and some microorganisms and other organisms have an additional terpene biosynthesis pathway in their chloroplasts, a structure of fungi and animals do not have. What the heck? Fungi produce several secondary metabolites such as similar to or identical structure of those made by plants. Many plants and fungi enzymes that make the compound differ from each other in a sequence of other characteristics, which indicates quite separate origin and convergent evolution of these enzymes in fungi and plants. So enzymes is a molecular machine. So let's work it out. Animals did not evolve from plants. Animals were sitting there in a proto state, as with fungus. And so they were sitting there ready to go. So animals haven't evolved from plants, and plants haven't, they've obviously had a common ancestor a long time ago. Okay, reading about diversity. Fungi have a worldwide distribution and grow a wide range of habitats, including extreme environments such as deserts in the area of high salt concentrations and ionizing radiation, as well as deep sea sediments. Some can survive intense EV and cosmic encounter during space travel. Most grow in terrestrial environments, though several species live partly or solely in aquatic habitats, such as the chytrid. So haploid, omacel, and what are they? Funguses, which is called a Batrachytrium dendrites, Dendroblastis, a parasite that is responsible worldwide for the decline of amphibian populations. So that's the fungus which gets into our frogs. The organism spends part of its life cycle in a motile zoospore, enabling it to propel itself through water and into amphibian hosts. Other examples of aquatic fungi include living in hypothetical fungus. Oh, so that's blood. That's awful. A drop of fungus water gives these little fungies... imagine being a frog. Remember, there's 3.2 million species. Around 120,000 species of fungus have been described by taxonomists, but the total global diversity of the fungus community is not fully understood. Of course, not by me or you. At 2017 estimates suggest there may be 2.2 to 3.8 million species. In mycology, species have historically been distinguished by a variety of methods and concepts. So Ulinus' method, which really worked well for plants, is focused on the reproductive system, which happened to be a really good way of working, which for flowers, obviously for non-flowering things it's not growing. Looking at fruiting bodies, they haven't found the same, hasn't been successful. Classification based on morphological characteristics such as the size and shape and spores of fruiting structures have traditionally dominated fungal taxonomy. Species may also be distinguished by the biochemical physiological characteristics such as the ability to metabolize certain biochemicals or their reaction to chemical tests. Biological species concepts discriminate species based on their ability to mate. The application of molecular tools such as the DNA sequencing and phylogenetic analysis, a study of diversity, has greatly enhanced the resolution and added robustness to the estimate of genetic diversity within various taxonomic groups. And remember, what is it? That 70% of funguses glow in the dark. Mycology. Mycology is a branch of biology concerned with the systematic study of fungi, including their genetic and biochemical properties, their taxonomy, and their use to humans as a source of medicine, food, psychotropic substances consumed for religious purposes. I'm glad that you only consume it for religious purposes. If it's not religious, you shouldn't be doing it. As well as their dangers, such as poisoning and infection. The field of phytopathology, the study of plant disease, is closely related because the main plant pathogens are fungi. The use of fungi human dates back to prehistory. Ots the Iceman, a well-preserved mummy of 5,300 years old, Neolithic man found, Neolithic, in the Austrian Alps, carried two species of polyspore mushrooms that may have been used as tinder. Or for medicinal purposes. Ancient peoples have used fungi as food sources, often unknowingly for millennia. The preparation of leavened bread, fermented juices. Some of the oldest written records contain references to destruction of crops that were probably caused by pathogenic fungi. This is plague, you know, the pestilence. History. Mycology is relatively new science and came to systematic after development of the microscope in the 17th century. Although fungi spores, that's by Hooke and Leeuwenhoek, that Dutchman. Although fungi spores were first observed at Gambetta della Porta in 1588, the seminal work in the development of mycology is considered by the publication of Pier Antonio Micheli's 1729 work, Nova Plantarum Genera. He thinks it's plants. Michelle not only observed cells, but also showed that under proper conditions, they could be induced to grow in the same species of fungi from which they originated, which is rather interesting because people thought of spontaneous generation. They didn't think of sex at this stage. Extending the use of binomial system in nucleature introduced by Carl Linnaeus, the species, in his species Plantarum, the Dutch Christian Hendrik Pearson established the first classification of mushrooms with such skill as to be considered the founder of modern mycology. Later, Elias Magnus of Prays further elaborated the classification of fungi using spore colour microscopic characteristics methods still used by taxonomists today. Other notable early contributors to mycology, mycology in the 17th and 19th century and early 20th century include Miles Joseph Berkeley, August Carl Joseph Corder, Anthony de Barry, Anton de Barry, and brothers Louis René and Arthur, and brothers Louis René and Charles Thusam. Arthur Butler, and brothers, I don't quite understand this. This is about five people, a butler, a Lloyd, a Saccardo. The 20th, which makes me rather think that mum was rather busy. The 20th century had seen the modernization of ecology that has some of the advances. Imagine them all being mushroom people. Here's a splendid family all producing mushrooms. Now, the 20th century has seen the modernization of ecology that has become advances in biochemistry, genetics, molecular biology, and biotechnology. The use of DNA sequencing technologies and the phylogenetic analysis has provided a new insights into fungal relationships and biodiversity. The challenge, traditional morphology based on groups. Imagine people, oh my god, I'm wrong. I've got a supercomputer in and now I'm wrong. Morphology, this is the shape, microscopic structures. Okay. My god, there's five components here. Most fungi grow in hyphae. These are the long tubes which keep on going for, which is cylindrical thread-like structures, 2 to 10 micron in diameter and up to several centimeters in length. Wow, that is far finer than a human hair, isn't it? You know, a human hair is 100 micron across. This is a tenth of a human hair width. Or, 10 by 10, a hundredth of a human hair width across. Hyphae grow at their tips, apices, and new hyphae are typically formed by the emergence of a new tip along the existing hyphae by a process called branching, or occasionally growing hyphal tip fork, giving rise to parallel growing hyphae. Hyphae sometimes fuse in when they come into contact, and a process is called hyphal fusion. Okay, well, this is amazing. I don't know how do they transport water inside it? You know, it's so small. I think the surface tension would be so small that water would rush through. They've got a huge surface area, that fine area. Sorry for coughing. The process, the growth process that leads to the development of mycelium. mycelium, an interconnected network of hyphae. Okay, so it grows here, but then they can crisscross. Hyphae can separate or separate or incorrect. Separate hyphae are divided into compartments separated by cross walls. Wow. Internal cell walls called septa that are formed at right angles to the cell wall, giving hyphae its shape. With each compartment containing one or more nuclei, nucleonic hyphae, and conic hyphae are not compartmentalized. Sepa have pores and allow cytoplasm, which is the, pores, okay, little hole openings, that allow cytoplasm and organelles and sometimes nuclei to pass through. An example of a diapore sepa of fungi, or phylum Bastardesima, co and coic hyphae are, in essence, multinuclear supercells. So this is, they're one cell, but they're past the pores. The juice goes outside them. They must pass between each other. Okay, macroscopic structures. That just blows my mind. They form these things and, you know, we've got a circulation system. The circulation system's within the cell. But get that one out. Get that one out of your head. Okay. Many species have developed specialized hyphal structures for nutrient uptake from living hosts. Examples include Hostoria in plant parasitic species of most fungus phyla, and Apsil of several microzoal fungi which penetrate in the host and consume the nutrients. So obviously you've got athlete's foot, is the fungi going in. It's pretty amazing stuff. Although fungi are osteoconotes, a grouping of evolutionary related organisms broadly characterized by a single posterior flagellum, all phyla except chirrids have lost their posterior flagellum. So they've got they're not like a bacteria, sort of that, but they've got a little wiggly thing out the back of them to go. So this is, so I now know that chirrids are there. So it's umacels, and yeah, it's gone from my head. What's that other thing I had to haploid? Fungi are unusual amongst eukaryotes as having a cell wall that, in addition to glycans and other typical components, contains the bipolar chitin. So, whatever glycans means. So they don't have cellulose. Fungal micella become visible to the naked eye, for example, on various surface substrates, such as damp walls and spoiled food, where they are commonly called molds. Okay, so when you can see them on your wall, they're a mold, but that's just the fruiting body of them. Mycelia grown on old Unsettled alga media in laboratory petri dishes are usually referred to as colonies. These colonies can exhibit growth shapes and colors due to the spores and pigmentation that can be used to diagnostic features that identify the types of spores. Some individual fungi colonies can reach extraordinary dimensions and ages in the case of the colonial colony Amasa strepis, which extends over an area of more than 900 hectares, an estimated age of 9,000 years. We'll kill them out shortly. Aphrodisium, a specialized structure important in the sexual reproduction of Asomoseids, is a cup-shaped fruiting body that's often microscopic and holds the harpoon, a layer of tissue containing spore-bearing cells. The fruit bodies of Bacillomacea, bastard carps, and some Asomoseids can sometimes grow very large and may well be known, and many are well-known mushrooms. My godfather, good on you, fungus. And I don't know how far I'm going to get on this one. 40 minutes of reading of fungus. I hope you have 40 minutes of fungus. Growth and physiology. The growth of fungi by hyphae, this is the little cells, which have got angles in them and holes and colored substrates or single cell aquatic environments is adapted for efficient extraction of nutrients because the growth forms have high surface area to volume ratios, which is exactly what I was saying. They're amazing. Hyphae are specifically adapted for growth in solid surfaces and in base substrate and tissue, so they're just a little thin as okay, so they're the width 2 to 10 microns, the width of a red blood cell. Yeah, width. Come on. And you can imagine that small, and it says they can exert large penetrative forces. For example, many plant pathogens, including Magna Graecia, form a structure called an apressorum that has evolved to puncture plant tissues. Well, imagine. The pressure generated by the apressin directed against the plant epidermis can exceed 8 megapascals to 120 psi. So I think that's 1,200 psi. And, I really forgotten what atmospheric pressure is. Is it 15 psi, pounds per square inch? Something like that. I don't know what a psi is, but I know it's 1,000... pascals, so I don't know what pounds per square inch. That's a lot of pressure, right? The filamentous fungus uses similar structures to penetrate eggs of nematodes. Oh god. Mechanical pressure exerted by the apressorum is generated from a physiological process to increase intercellular turgor by producing osmocytes, such as glycerol. I.e., it's a hydraulic thing. Adaptations such as these are complemented by hydraulic enzymes secreted into the environment to digest large organic molecules such as polysaccharides, proteins, and lipids into smaller molecules that may be absorbed in nutrients. Ugh, yuck. The vast majority of filamentous fungus grow in a polar fashion, extending in one direction by elongation of the tip of apex of the phytum. Other forms of fungus grow include intercalary extension, longitudinal expansion, hyphal expansions that are below the apex. In the case of some endophoric fungi, or growth by volume expansion during the development of a mushroom. Steps and larger organs. Growth of fungi in multicellular structures consisting of somic or reproductive cells, a feature independently evolved in animals and plants, has several functions including development of fruiting bodies for dissemination of sexual spores as above, and biofilms for substrate colonization and unicellular communication. These are bloody weird, aren't they? Fungi are traditionally considered heterotrophs, organs that rely solely on the carbon fixed by other organisms. Hetero. I thought, yeah, okay. Not autotrophs, right? That's it.
Puppies have evolved a high degree of metabolic versatility that allows them to use a diverse range of organic substances to growth, including simple compounds such as nitrate, ammonia, and acetate, or ethanol. In some species, the pigment melanin may play a role in extracting energy from ionizing radiation, such as gamma radiation. The form of radiotrophic growth has been described for only a few species. The effects growth rates are small, and the underlying biophysical chemical process is not well known. The process might be a similarity to CO2 fixation by visible light, but instead uses ionization as a source of energy. Well, there you go. So I'm going to finish that more off, and you've got, I'll just read you the next thing up. You've got reproduction. That's just amazing that they can actually photosynthesize energy. That's I don't know what that is happening there. That's a pretty bizarre page. It's a bit, oh dear. This is the tree of life. The tree of life goes on. It's got a thing. Oh, there's one. Fungus like organisms, ecology, symbiosis goes on. This will be another couple of hours of great reading. Poisons, pathogenic mechanisms. Oh, look at that poison. It looks very similar to an insect poison. It's that they're just looking at the fact. Poisonous fungi, pest control. Oh, it is a grasshopper killed. Oh, I wonder if that's killed that way. And then, hopefully, not too many pages. Okay, so there's a fair whack in there. So reproduction, if you can remember, that's where I've got to get up to. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.